Well, tonight I noticed there's a lot of children. That makes my heart happy. I think I could probably count 100 children here this evening. Lots of dear children. New crop, a fresh crop of children. So we're going to sing number 42 on the back of the hymn sheet. I was at a conference not very long ago where I think there were 6 or 8 children. I was very disappointed. Could someone please start hymn number 42? Are there any 7-year-olds here? One? Is there any more? Raise your hand real high if you're 7. Oh, there's another one. Another one. We got 3, 4. Is there more in here? Oh, look at there. Wonderful. Good. Very good. A little child of 7. You know, 7 is an interesting age. You stop being a little kid and you're starting to think. And there's something else that starts working when you're 7 years old, and I can prove it. Shall we pray? Well, because there are so many children here tonight, I see children, oh my, they're all over the place. How wonderful. I got a question for the children here. It goes like this. I want you to tell me the answer. There's a mama sheep. A sheep, she's in the fold, you know, and she finds a break in the fence, and she goes outside the fold enclosure, and she wanders off over the hill, over the valley, across a stream, in the woods. She wandered off. Do you think she was lost? Yeah. But while she was out there, she had a little baby lamb. Do you think that lamb was lost? The girl says, no. Bless your heart. That's our hearts. We'd like to see all of you children saved. That little lamb is born lost. Lost. Now, Christ Jesus came into the world to save that which was lost. So tonight I'm going to tell you some things with the Lord's help that you don't even know. And they may never have been told you before. Children, the older folks, probably most of them know this, but some of you may not. And it's so serious. But you know, someone said that the tent meetings, if someone didn't open the Bible within 30 seconds, there would be someone in the back of the room waving like that. Let's get the book open. So let's get the book open. What do you think? What verse do you think we should? What's a good gospel verse, children? One that's real famous and popular. Can you think? Look at that. John 3:16. Let's look at a particular word in that verse. Mumuchochi and Zambi, Wizangili Akwahashi, Achizi Wacheli Munyeni, Apulia Ketchikatoka, Elioze. Oh, I'm sorry, this is English. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, children, look at this verse right here. gave. Oh, what a word that was. What a word that is. A gift. Now, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about the gift of God, but we're going to go down through a little story before we get to that wonderful gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God loveth a cheerful giver. It's kind of interesting to put that verse in there. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. He went right to the cross for you children to save your soul. Now, if we're born lost, we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to stay that way. So God has given us the gospel of the grace of God. You know, Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he said, I've finished my course with joy. Boy, he says, but do the work of an evangelist. That's some of the last things he wrote in his book, his epistle. Do the work of an evangelist. And you know something, kids? Have you ever mailed a letter to anybody? Sure you have. You know, the letter's about, the general envelope's about that wide. You don't see there? How wide is a gospel tract? Just a little bit less. I'm talking to all of you. You don't have to face the person when you mail them a little gospel tract. If you got to mail something into the telephone company, remember that usually the envelope is about that wide and the gospel tract just a little bit less. You can slip a gospel tract in there. Maybe four things God wants you to know. Just something that they're opening up the letter like this and they're looking at it. They say, what's this? It's the gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's a love story. There was two boys. I think they were Ukrainian fellows, and they were about 12 years of age. They came into the office where I work, and they had a box of candy. And they wanted to sell me a box of Skittles. You know, Skittles? And they were overpriced. I suppose they were two or three times what I should have paid. But I looked at these boys. I said, okay, I'll buy a box of Skittles. So after the transaction took place, I said to these two young boys, I said, let me ask you, if you were standing at the gate of heaven and God were to ask you, how can I let you come into my heaven? You're a sinner like this guy. You know what he said? He says, because God came down into this world, wrapped himself in human flesh, and he went to the cross and he died for my sins. He put his Skittles and all that stuff back in the box and he walked out the door. Wow! Now, if someone were to say that to you, children, what would you tell them? What would you tell them? How can God let you into his heaven? Because you and I are sinners. Now, what I'm going to tell you is something you might not know. You probably don't. I'm going to take you on the roof of a house. Now, this guy, he's nailing down the roof of his house. He's just a man of the world, doesn't know the Lord Jesus. And he's nailing that roof down. And he sees this guy coming. Oh, that's my neighbor. I hate that man. I can't tell you how much I hate that man for what he's done to me. I hate him with a passion. And he hits his thumb. And he smashes his thumb. Now, his neighbor's name was Joe. Do you think he takes Joe's name in vain? No. He takes the name of Jesus Christ in vain. There's something desperately wrong with that man. And then I've heard people say, geez, all the time. I've heard Christians say that. That's called a minced oath. Why is it that within this heart of ours, those kind of things come out? Especially the guy on the roof there. He's a grown man, sensible man and all that. And he takes the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. He doesn't say Lord, he says Jesus Christ. Well, what I hate to tell you, but it's true, deep down inside of us, there's something that's called a fallen, broken, nature. And it's been imprinted, a fixed principle of broken sin, and you don't even realize it. We usually think of doing something wrong, it's sinful, that's true, and we shouldn't have done it. But you know, a transgression is bad, but as you get older, you start to think about it. There's something going on down inside of me that's opposed to my God. I'm opposed to my Maker. That's awful. And you know, God knows that, and God wants to take care of that particular problem. And how He does it is beautiful. That's what we're going to talk about, the gospel, the grace of God. Now, children, this is a love story, really. And God up above and the Father, the Lord Jesus, God the Father, two persons, the Godhead, the Spirit also, they have a plan to bring you into eternal blessing. It's called eternal life. What do you think eternal life means? Can somebody tell me what eternal life means? What's a good... Go ahead. Go to heaven, yes. What else? Anybody else? Eternal, what's that mean? To live forever and ever. Well, Satan is going to live forever and ever. Forever. Well, you're going down the right line, but you know something? Eternal life is something where it's more than living forever and ever, it is. It's coming to know God as your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, the Spirit of God is your Comforter, the Bible is your guidebook, God's people are your companions and your friends, heaven is your home, and the Lord's coming is what you're waiting for. It all comes as a beautiful package, eternal life. Now, children, you can have that life by asking for it. This gift comes from the warmest heart that ever beat. Isn't that something? It's a tender, loving heart. And it's directed to you. God has so much, He can show His power. You know, He can show His power by shaking the mountains, causing the earth to shake. He can show His wisdom by spreading out the universe that man can't find the end of it. He can, with intelligence, He can give something called DNA. Talking to a man the other day, he says, we're looking deep into the DNA and we're finding cures for this and we're finding cures for that. He was a man, I don't think he was saved, but he was mystified and amazed at the order of God's DNA. It's a word that's, I don't know, 3.5 billion letters long, something like that. Now, you college students or high school students, children too, when you get a chance, look up something on your computer that says Fibonacci. Raise your hand to anybody. Have you ever heard that name, Fibonacci? Oh, look at there. There's a couple dozen. Well, there's another good for you. There's another word for it called the golden ratio. I'm not going to explain it because I'm not good at it. But look it up. You'll find amazing in the way the seeds on a sunflower spins around like this, the way the waves curl around like that, and the way all through nature you find it imprinted, that Fibonacci's number. It's a man discovered it years ago. It's amazing, and you don't hear that in school because it just testifies to the design capabilities of our God. So you have things like that. And so you have His power. He can shake this world. His artistic abilities, God's artistic abilities. And you children, you like to draw and you like art. So and He likes you to like that. But where's His love shown out? His intelligence, His power, His wisdom, His artistic ability, His skill. And his creatorial genius, oh children, it's amazing. But how can he show out his love? He did it wonderfully. This all started in the heart of your God. Apparently there was a council. It was a council of peace between the Father and the Son. And they said, God is going to get the glory from this council. The Father said, who shall I send? The Lord Jesus said, send me. I'll go. So where'd he go? He came from the heights of glory, and it began a love story that starts up there, and it comes right on down here to Bethlehem's manger, where they laid that little baby. Doesn't say he was born in a manger. He was laid in a manger. We don't know where he was born, just that it was in Bethlehem. And there he was. He was raised up, his mother there, who was supposed Father Joseph. And it says, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You know something? He was cared for by his mother. And outside that door of his house, there was bitter hatred for this one that came down. He came down into this world in love and compassion. Do you think the world appreciated him? No. They sought right away. Herod, he had a bunch of children killed, and they started. The mothers were, fathers were weeping there in Israel because that wicked Herod, he had those children killed, and they were 2 years old. I see 2 years old, and my heart goes right out to a beautiful little children right up and down the aisles here. And can you imagine that? This wicked Herod has said, I want those children dead. And so, you know where those children went, by the way? They went to be with the Lord Jesus because of the precious blood of Christ. So, he came down into this world, and he walked among men. Like, he had a human nature. You and I have a human nature. He had a divine nature. We have a fallen human nature. He didn't have that. In him was no sin, and so he was the one marked out, a perfect sacrifice, to go to the cross to pay the penalty for this man's sins, and there are a lot of them. So, as time went on, he had a gift for mankind, and he brought it with him. It was himself. And along with that gift, it says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It comes a life. And truth, the way, and all that came with him. He came down from the Father up above, and he presented himself to this world, and did the world appreciate him? No, they did not. Why? Because, as I was saying a few minutes ago, deep inside of each one of our hearts is a settled principle, if I could say it. I'm trying to think of a better word. We are enemies of our God. Oh, no, is that possible? Yes, it is. We are enemies of our God. When we're 2 years old, 3 years old, 30 years old, 80 years old, 100 years old, we're enemies of our God. I was at the airport yesterday before yesterday. There was a child there about 3, maybe 4 years of age. And that child was, by the way, I really appreciated what the brother said about child raising. This little boy, he was kicking and slapping his father. It was shameful. Why, here's it. Your dad cares for you, and he feeds you, and he puts you to bed at night, and he protects you. Why would you slap him and kick him? You know, the father, he didn't do a thing. He just let that little boy do whatever he wanted to do. I felt, you know what I felt like. I felt like going over there and say, sir, I want to tell you something. If one of my grandchildren would have done that, the father would have said, ah! And that would stop it right there. But you know, to do that, you have to have a good conscience. I'll just take off on sideways here a little bit. When you start life, children, if you're going to raise children, you can't have a bad conscience. You have to start with a good conscience, because you can't discipline anybody if you yourself have a bad conscience. And a conscience is something we're going to talk about later on. So here we come down into the world. The Lord Jesus came down the world. He presented himself to mankind, and he had a purpose. He had a purpose, and that purpose was to go to the cross so that he could bear your sins in his own body on the tree. I'll fast forward a little bit here. There's a lot could be said. But there's what we call a sinner's bench. Now, you have to kind of imagine that. And on that bench, there's room for two people. And you're one of them. You're a lost sinner. Who do you think would be the other person sitting on the sinner's bench? You know, this has been amazing to me. The Lord Jesus, he came down and he's willing to sit beside a sinner on a sinner's bench as if he took the place of being a sinner. Is that possible? He bore as if he was the sinner. He didn't sin. But he took my sins, the responsibility of my sins, upon himself, and God punished him for my sins. What a beautiful, amazing, wonderful gift that was. And now what he can do, children, he can give you, just for the taking, a free gift, and that is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, we've had the wisdom of God, the power of God. You know, there's been a little fire out our way where we live, just south of us. I think 12 or 14,000 homes were burned to crisp. And the smoke floated over a wicked city, San Francisco, noted for its wickedness. And I suppose folks were thinking with their masks on, walking around there, is this kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, children, guess how many times how many books of the Bible Sodom and Gomorrah is found in? It's maybe in a couple of Gospels, you think, Sodom and Gomorrah. Brother, what do you think? Couple, three or four Gospels, maybe a time or two in Isaiah? I believe it's 16 books of the Bible, 15 to 7, 16 books of the Bible. You'll find Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, Sodomites, and even in the book of Job. I could look it up for you after meeting here. It says they're unclean. They die in their youth. Look in the margin. King James says, Sodomites. Yes, this is a broken world we're living in, children. Sinful world. And you have not tasted it to that degree. Stay away, children. Stay away from this world. It'll bite you. It'll really bite you. Well, anyway, just to finish off a little story, there was a lady, was her husband, I guess, they were driving out of those flames there, a place called Paradise, California. And the fire was all over the road in front of them, and sparks flying off the windshield. And you know what she said? Heavenly Father, keep us safe. You know, he did. He took care of them, took them right on through that fire. And a lot of stories come out of that. People, they didn't have warning. On the eastern part of that city, there was a little bit of warning, but the cell phones didn't bark at them, or no sirens rang. It was a desperate situation. They had moments to flee, and I think there's 600 that didn't make it. 600 people that can't even find the bones because the water's come down and washed them away. Wow. Think about that. God has given you not 15 minutes. How old are you? It's 11, 12, 13. All your life you've heard the gospel. Back in the days of Jonah, 40 days they had in that city. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And you know, they repented. And then there were other times where Noah in a boat, they had many years to repent. And then another 7 days of grace. And different times in Scripture, you'll find that time of grace was given, and sometimes they accepted it, sometimes they rejected it. But you, children, have been told the gospel, and it's important for you tonight to believe the gospel that God has for you. It's free. So we're going to go on. Inside that mind and heart of yours, I don't know exactly where it is. It's called a conscience. And pardon this expression, it's not a very good one. But it's like a monkey on your back. You look this way and it goes over that way. This way and the monkey goes over that way. See, you can't get rid of it. So man has been given by God a conscience. And there was a little boy. Little boy, he was 7 years of age. And do you think a seven-year-old child has a conscience that tells him what's right, tells him what's wrong? Well, this little boy, he had a friend. And his friend said, let's go to the ballpark and go under the bleachers, and we're going to take those empty pop bottles, worth 2 cents a piece back in those days, and we'll just take them to the, put them in a box, and we'll take them over to the concession where the next day, and we'll collect our 2 cents, or take them someplace else and collect the 2 cents a piece. And so they decided, they went over there and they picked up these bottles and they put them in a box and they brought them home. And one little boy said, I don't feel good about this. He was seven. That's why I was concerned about the seven-year-olds. Well, why? Because his daddy was a gospel preacher and had told him about sin, told him about the conscience, told him about the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life. And so this little boy said to his fellow thief, who was 10 years old, they were stealing his pop bottles, they're going to turn them in the next day. Five bottles is going to be how much, worth how much at 2 cents a piece? Five, how many cents is that going to be? Go ahead. That's a 10 cent sinner. And so he got home and that little shoebox was full of five pop bottles, I think. And he was a 10-cent sinner, but you know something, boys? His conscience started working. And you know what his conscience said to him? This is not right. This is not right. And so the boy said to the other boy, who was 2 years older, 3 years older, he says, I don't feel right. And the older boy said, oh, he was a sinner. He was a thief, too. He might have had 12 cents or something worth it. Of bottles. I don't know. And the one boy said to the other boy, he said, I don't feel right. Now that's called a conscience. And God has put that in everybody's mind and heart. It's a guide. It's not a perfect guide, but it is a guide. It tells you when you're doing wrong. And so, one boy says, I feel bad. The other boy says, aren't you saved? The younger boy said, no, I'm not saved. So, well, do you want to get saved? Well, yeah. So those two boys had got down on the dirt right there in front of their house. And the older boy said to the younger boy, you pray after me. And so, well, what do I pray? I don't know what to pray, he said. So the older boy said, you pray what I pray. And he said, Lord Jesus, take away my sins. And that boy got saved. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, it's just as simple as that, children. God has made a way. He's opened up the way where you can have your sins forgiven. Now, out our way, visiting with people, we find out that there's something called works. People, they want to work. This would be for the older folks here. They feel that they can do some good for God. But God has a gift. It's beautiful. And He wants to give it to you, and if you want to work for it, then he has said, oh, I've got nothing for you. If you want to do something for God, nothing for you. But if you want to take it as a gift, it's absolutely free. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we'll go on here. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, a settled principle of enmity against God. How awful. You know, when Adam sinned, children, death reigned. Now, that's not the reign that you have outside right now. That's like it's king over your life. Adam sinned, and death has reigned. And now, today, this world, children, is shaped like a great big tear, like a big teardrop. Yeah, I'm figuratively speaking. There's so much crying and sorrow and terrible. There's people trying to get into this country tonight that are from other countries where dictators have taken over and have just ruined things because of their desire for power. God will deal with that, that's true. But there are people that don't have a home. They've been burned out, or the governments have chased them out, or whatever. This world is suffering and sorrowful tonight. You children probably all come from homes where you're loved and cared for. There's food on the table, and you have homes, beds to sleep in, and all that. Children, this world is not that way. Many parts of this world is sadly broken. Why? It's because of sin. Sin has come in such a way that it's cut deep grooves in this world. But you know something? God is going to take care of that. There's coming a day when all taint of sin is going to be washed away. All evil is going to be done away. And you know, so the Lord Jesus is going to come down here and he's going to straighten all this out. I talk to children, they don't realize the degradation of this world, and it's so beautiful that it's true. But you older ones know exactly what I'm talking about. You see what sin has wrought, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'll read you a couple of verses from the 72nd Psalm here that's so beautiful. It says, "He shall judge the people with righteousness, and the poor with judgment," and so on. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth," and so on and so on, until it says, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory." All that's going to be gone. And then it says, "Amen and amen, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." So there's a time coming when God is going to straighten it all out. But right tonight, it has to do with the gospel of the grace of God. God comes down with a gift, and he says, "I want to do this for you. I want to make you my own child, sons and daughters of the living God. I've given the pathway, the way, the truth, and the life has been marked out in the Word of God, and we've got salvation's offered free, and it's in the form of a gift. Mercy is in the form of packaged up as a gift. And you can reach out and you can take it and you can be eternally blessed. You're brought into God's family. I think of it this way, children. There is two families. I see these chairs lined up here. I suppose if we put a row of chairs going this way and a row of chairs going that way to make the point, Adam has a family. Who's the head of that family? It's Adam is the head of that family, and that we're all born into Adam's family, lost. But God has a family. The head of that family is the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get out of Adam's family into the family of our Lord Jesus? Is by simply taking the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll save your soul. He'll wash your sins all away and make you a child of God. Now, children, you have to make that decision by faith. Your grandparents and parents are praying for you, and the Word of God is open here, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Up in Canada one time there was a banker, I think he was snowed real, he couldn't drive his car to work. The snow was all piled up there, and he was walking down the street to work, and there was a sign there in front of a church building, and it said, the top of the sign, the snow went up the sign like that, it said, the wages of sin. Next day it said the wages melted a little bit. The wages of sin is death. He looked at that, he thought, that's terrible. And it worried him because he knew he was a sinner. And the sun came out and melted it down. And it said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I don't know if that man took a hold of that or not, but that's the way the story read. So you children, you have had the gospel presented feebly indeed. The word of God is not feeble. And so gospel preachers, it's like this. You go to the Redwood, California, just south of Eureka, and you get that huge redwood tree that goes, there's one of them there that's 374 feet tall. It's so tall they don't want you going there. So there's only three groups of people that know where that tree is, because people would ruin it if they went over there. 374 feet, 4 inches, something like that, huge tree. But then you got a vine growing up the side of it, little vine growing up the side of it. Well, gospel preacher is like that. He's just leaning on that tree. He's like the vine. You know, that tree is strong. It's been there for thousands of years. So, no matter how feeble it is, you've heard the word of God tonight, children, and you know something? You can have it free. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there's something that goes along with that that's so beautiful. The Lord wants to have his family with him in heaven. And so what's he going to do? He's going to rapture. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we can comfort one another with these words. Now where do the lost go? Where do the lost go? You tell me, boys? The people that are lost and reject Christ. I heard one man say, I want to go to hell. Oh, that made me shiver. What did he say that for? So, children, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. A man at his shop the other day said, I just don't know. I just can't get a hold of it. If I just believe it, I don't know if I have the faith for that. So what would you tell him? Open up the Bible and just believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, we can thank the Lord Jesus for the gift of God is eternal life. Shall we pray?